Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This was really cool. We got to go camping during the 4th of July week. We were camping out on a friend's ranch, and I didn't ask permission to say where and who all. And frankly, you never want to give away your camp spots over the airwaves anyway. Kind of like your good fishing holes. Don't tell people where they're at. We were camping out on this ranch, and all of a sudden we're like, wow, man, there were all these owls. You know, all these owls, and I didn't even ask what kind of owls they were. They were probably hoot owls, I guess, right? But it was kind of cool seeing all these owls fly around just out on the prairie, right? And anyway, next to this pond, and so that was kind of cool. But I didn't ask what kind of owls they were. It's probably better that I didn't know which kind of owls they were because, man, and even if you saw a spotted owl, you wouldn't want to tell anybody you saw a spotted owl. They'd probably come in and try to shut down your ranch if they thought you had spotted owls on the ranch. Because anyway, do you guys remember back in the day, these liberal federal judges like Don Malloy in Missoula, who's been undermining Montana, undermining America, single-handedly has done more to destroy the timber industry. You wonder why all these sawmills have gone out of business and why all these timber workers have lost their jobs, oftentimes union jobs, by the way. It's because of left-wing judges like Don Malloy, who were put on the bench by Max Baucus and Bill Clinton. And remember, they would blame the timber industry. They would say, well, we're losing spotted owls. And it's because of all these folks in the timber industry. And then all of a sudden they found out, oh, well, wait a minute. They probably knew this all along, of course, but the science never matters with these people. It's all about using an animal as a tool to shut you down, whether it's the lynx, sage grouse, grizzlies, wolves, owls. You know, they will hoot over anything to try to have an excuse to shut you down. Well, then there were several years ago we realized, oh, they were using your taxpayer dollars to kill the striped owls or the barbed owls. And the reason they were using taxpayer dollars to go out and kill these owls was because they figured out that the striped owl or the barbed owl was mating with the spotted owl, and that's why we were seeing less numbers of the spotted owl. Well, the Biden administration is doing this once again. The Biden administration has plans to kill hundreds of thousands of owls in the name of conservation. That was a great story at thefederalist.com earlier this week, and they're quoting former Bureau of Land Management Director William Perry Pendley, who also served in the Reagan administration back in the Reagan 80s, you know, back when California was cool. Perry Pendley is going to be with us shortly after our 9:20 break right here on Montana Talks, and I think he'll join us for the rest of the hour. First up, though, we've got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. He'll be with us in the first segment right after this quick break. Right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we'll definitely jump into your phone calls here a little bit later in the hour when Perry Pendley joins us on the show. But here in this quick opening segment, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Montana, it's great to catch up with Henry Kriegel. He's the Deputy State Director for AFP Montana. Henry, I'll tell you what, I was just at Aspenwall Mountainware yesterday. We did an event trying to help people fight inflation. What remarkable responses we got. We were right in downtown Billings during a live after five. We've been doing it all across the state. We just wrapped up our border security tour. Incredible work by your entire team, I got to say.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun meeting with voters across the state of Montana and meeting with citizens who are being burdened by the increase of costs for everything, food, gas, clothing, housing. We're having a good time talking with people and showing them some compassion and hearing their stories. So thank you for helping to lead this these events, Aaron. It's been very, very helpful.
You know, it's crunch time. Joe Biden just had this press conference yesterday, and even though it was filled with gaffes, it looks like the, you know, MSNBC, CNN crowd is trying to resuscitate the Biden campaign. But really, we've only got 4 months left for the election here, so it's crunch time.
Well, they might try to revive the campaign, but I can tell you that certain senators are very nervous about the impact on their races. So I've heard reports about Senator John Tester being very doubtful of Biden's capabilities of winning. And that's exactly the position we want these people to be in. And with exactly the position we want this personally on the top of the ticket. Let them have all the uncertainty in the world. We're focused on, with AFP Action, we are focused on winning this Senate race for Tim Sheehy. In fact, since the debate, the debacle of the debate, there's been polling data that's come out that has Sheehy up 5 points above the margin of error. But, you know, the Tester machine is pretty formidable, so we take nothing for granted.
Yeah, I saw it. Actually, I heard about this from one of our listeners that John Tester skipped out. He didn't show up for his job. He didn't show up for a couple of committee hearings. I saw that he hadn't shown up for the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee hearing. And then one of our listeners called and said he didn't even show up for the Indian Affairs Committee hearing because he didn't want to answer any questions on camera about his continued support for Joe Biden. I mean, that's great. And then he was running from the camera at the airport.
Well, you know, they're running scared, and that's exactly where we want them to be. We want them to deal with their uncertainty about who's at the top of the ticket while we move forward with clarity of direction. And I can tell you this, we can win this U.S. Senate seat. Aaron, it's only going to take 320,000 votes or thereabouts for Montana to change the dynamics of the Senate for the next 6 years. Just imagine that. We win the Senate seat. It's only going to take 320,000 votes. We only have 750,000 registered voters to begin with. And the turnout rate in the past during the presidential election has been 80%. So when you do the math, this is extremely doable. And when you count in the fact that we have been canvassing throughout the state since December 8th, and we have hit over 360 household attempts, I mean people within all those homes, 360,000 people that we've reached in one fashion or another, we are making an impact. So Tester can run those ads 4 or 5 consecutively, and we are going to be talking heart-to-heart with voters, with real Montanans, talking about the issues that affect them the most, border security, inflation, energy independence, those kind of bread and butter issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, Henry Kriegel, you talk about how Montana, literally, we can save our country. Put the presidential race aside, just by the Senate race alone, Montana can save this country and really the world, frankly. Wyatt LaPrame is your state grassroots operations director. Man, I've sure enjoyed traveling the state with him as well. He asked a very good question. I asked, let's just say, a former senior ranking government official, how much harder is it going to be to turn things around if Trump wins and the Republicans take back the Senate? But Wyatt asked a very good question as well, which is, what happens if they don't win? What happens if Trump doesn't win and they don't take back the Senate? What happens then? And this, let's just say, former senior government official says, my fear is that the first half of the 21st century will look a lot like the first half of the 20th century. And what was that? World War I, World War II, chaos, right?
Yep, and this is a firewall strategy, Aaron. That is, no matter what happens at the top of the ticket, we've got to win a policy majority in the U.S. Senate. We've got to get the 51 senators. And Montana is right up there in terms of priority Senate races. We're number one in the nation. And Tester is extremely vulnerable, even more so since Biden has been greatly faltering. So at worst, we have 51 senators. At best, we have a line person in the White House, and we can actually amplify his good policies. We can confirm his appointees to the cabinet and sub-cabinet levels, and we can confirm his judges around the country. That's how important our vote is, and it's a remarkable thing, Aaron, to just conceive of our state with just a little over 1 million people and 753,000 registered voters can actually turn the tide of the U.S. Senate.
It's crazy.
That's how important our vote is and how much power our small state does.
That's right. Every single listener. You actually have the power to save this country. Stop acting so helpless. Oh, there's nothing I can do. No, we have the power to save this country this November. Henry Kriegel, Americans for Prosperity and AFP Action. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. He's been a freedom fighter since the Reagan 80s when he was on the ground in Afghanistan. Henry Kriegel, always a pleasure.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I definitely want to get to your phone calls as well here, but give us a few minutes, get the conversation going, get to a couple of the high points that we want to cover here first, and then we'll start getting into your phone calls. But if you want to get in the queue, 406-294-0970 is the number, or you can send us a message on the app, if you have on the Montana Talks app, if you have a quick question or comment as well. But you know, I deliberately mentioned that point there about our friend Henry Kriegel, you know, being a freedom fighter on the ground since the Reagan 80s. Yeah, Henry was actually in Afghanistan back in the 80s, you know, helping to enact President Reagan's a strong foreign policy, and he was on the ground in Afghanistan back in the 80s. And of course, he's been on the ground in Montana for decades now, freedom fighter here as well. But another guy who held a very senior position in the Reagan administration in the 80s, he's been fighting for those of us here in the Rocky Mountain West ever since. William Perry Penley. Perry Penley, great to have you. He was the BLM director under Trump, the Bureau of Land Management director. Great to have you back on the show, Perry.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be with you again. Thanks.
Well, I definitely want to talk about this big story from the Federalist about spotted owls. But first, you and I, we caught up recently, about a couple of weeks ago, talking about this very huge, huge decision, you described it, from the United States Supreme Court overturning the 1984 Chevron deference. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to the deep state and the bureaucracy trampling on our rights, trampling on agriculture, oil, gas, coal, public access, you name it, the federal government has used the Chevron deference to push their agenda every step of the way. And so before we get to the spotted owl story, I just want to remind people how important that decision was in going after this deep state.
Aaron, it was positively huge, and you can tell it was huge because the left is going absolutely bonkers over it and talking about what an injury it will have to the ability to protect our environment or do whatever these leftists think we ought to be doing. The bottom line of the decision is simply this. If Congress writes a law that's clear on its face, then the judge has to implement the law that's clear on its face. If, on the other hand, Congress is silent on the issue, or Congress is not clear what Congress was talking about, then the judge, again, has to use his or her best judgment as to what Congress intended. Under Chevron, the judge had to defer to the agency and simply say, well, I can't make heads or tail of what this means. I guess you'll have to tell me what it means. And as any high school student sitting out there listening understands, that's a breach of the branches of our government, because it's the Congress that writes the law. It's the judicial branch that interprets the law. And what this new decision, Loper Bright by Chief Justice Roberts means is simply that judges do their duty, as has been the case since the 1800s under Marbury versus Madison. The judges interpret the law. And what this means for Congress is if Congress wants to prohibit something or permit something, then write it down. Make it explicit. So there's absolutely no question about what's intended. So we don't have, say, a Waters of the United States situation where the bureaucrat says, essentially, I can't define Waters of the United States, but I see it when I get out to your property. That's the holding of Chevron. It's a wonderful ruling, and as Justice Gorsuch, the first Westerner on the bench since Byron White from Colorado, he says this doesn't help big corporations with lawyers. It helps ordinary people.
Yeah, such a huge decision, because that's been the frustration of those of us here in the West for decades, which is, you know, whether you get a Republican or a Democrat in there, you have federal government agencies that run amok. Now, it's better when there's a Republican administration in, but yet look at the way the deep state unelected bureaucrats undermined and attempted to undermine Trump every step of the way. And so that's why we've seen this constant nonstop growth of government taking away liberty and undermining the American economy. Spotted owls. I remember several years ago, PERC in Bozeman did a great job of exposing this. You know, for years, the Democrats, the fake news media, the left, the deep state, they would use the spotted owl as their tool to go after the timber industry. And just like they use grizzlies and wolves and sage grouse and lynx or whatever as a tool to go after other industries, they used the spotted owl and said, well, you see, the timber industry is the reason we're losing spotted owls. And then, they started killing, federal government officials started killing the barred owls because they found out that the barred owls were mating with the spotted owls. And that was actually the reason there was a decline in spotted owls. Well, here they go again, huh, Perry?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I was at ground zero fighting on behalf of the small timber communities. One of my clients was Bruce Vinson from Libby, Montana.
Yeah, great family.
He had an organization up there called Communities for a Great Northwest. They did the Darby log haul, and they were fighting on behalf of the loggers. And when I say last week I talked about lowercase industry, what I'm talking about for timber industry, I mean the mills and these small towns that depend upon the production of logs from federal lands. You know, some of these counties, 60, 70, 80% of the land is owned by the federal government. And if there's not logging there, then they don't have an economy and they shut down. And that we discovered to be the case. And in the 90s, the enviros and all the experts, the fish and wildlife biologists, the experts said, oh, it's timber. Logging is killing the northern spotted owl, and we got to shut down the timber industry. There was a scientist named Jack Ward Thomas. He's passed away a few years ago. He later became head of the chief of the Forest Service. But he was a go-to guy. He was the Dr. Fauci of spotted owls. And he was Mr. Science. And so we all looked to him to tell us what was permitted. And one of the questions came up because there are so many spotted owls in national parks in the Pacific Northwest where you could not log. So we thought, well, gee, are there enough spotted owls in the parks and the wilderness areas in the Pacific Northwest that maybe that ensures their survival in perpetuity? And we asked Jack Ward Thomas, what's the magic number? Dr. Thomas, how many owls do we need? Fine, maybe go out and count them, and we got enough. And he said, there's no magic number. I'm busy making moral judgments between the needs of owls and the needs of mankind.
Couldn't even give. I love that Fauci of the Forest Service line. So perfect.
Yeah, he was absolutely Mr. Science. I mean, everybody went to him on bended knee. Oh, you know, Dr. Jack Ward Thomas, what do we need to do? And he killed the timber industry. Thousands of jobs disappeared. there was a National Public Radio story that's mentioned in that Federalist article by Tristan Justin, but there's a National Public Radio story in 2013 about a poor woman who was terribly assaulted and brutalized by an ex against whom she had a restraining order. She tried to call the sheriff and got an answering machine saying, "I'm sorry, we're closed for the weekend because we don't have money." And in fact, the sheriff of the county, Josephine County, issued a press release saying, if you're likely to be the victim of spouse abuse, I recommend you move to a jurisdiction that can provide 24/7 law enforcement because we can't." So, and that's
wow.
That's because of Jack Ward Thomas. That's because of the environmental groups. That's because of the so-called threat to the northern spotted owl. And the reason we're talking about it today is because now the agency is essentially saying, "My bad, we made a mistake. It's not really logging. It's the barred owl, and we're going to go out and kill him."
And they already knew this. They already knew this. So the latest update here is, this is from thefederalist.com, and they're quoting the AP here as well. U.S. wildlife officials are embracing a contentious plan, that's the AP's word, to deploy trained shooters into dense West Coast forests to kill almost a half million. Almost a half million barred owls that are crowding out their cousins. 450,000 owls will be shot in the years to come. But yet they were shooting down the timber industry.
Yeah, Aaron, they're going to kill more owls than windmills.
Well, now that's saying something.
This reminds me of a situation that happened about that same time as the northern spotted owl, and I mentioned it in an article to the Cowboy State Daily a couple of years ago, was when they were talking about the tortoise was in danger of extirpation down there in Clark County, Nevada. And so the Fish and Wildlife Service says, "Well, we got to get rid of the cattle because clearly the cattle are killing the tortoise."
Oh, brother.
Well, they had evidence that it was the raven. And I pointed that out to some of the agency. I said, "Look, you documented it's the raven that's the problem. It's not the cows." And they said, "Well, Perry, we'd catch hell if we went out and tried to kill the raven." Well, yeah, you probably would, but if that's the issue. But now they're courageously going out and killing half a million barred owl. I have no...
Well, and they act like this is something new. They act like this is something new that they just found out, and they act like it's kind of like, you know, like the fake news media in Joe Biden. They act like they just found out that he's had cognitive struggles 2 weeks ago. They act like they just found out that the barred owls were impacting the spotted owl numbers when we knew that 2 decades ago, which is why they were shooting them back then, like they're going to shoot them once again. Perry Pentley, sorry to interrupt you. I got a quick hard break that I got to hit here, and then we'll come back to Perry Pentley, who was the Bureau of Land Management Director under President Trump. And we'll get to some callers on the phone lines as well. Kevin and Billings, Craig and Kyla, and more.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Grain prices have plummeted to their lowest since COVID-19, extending this year's losses to 17%, according to Bloomberg. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin warns that falling prices could mean substantial financial losses for corn and soybean producers. Irwin highlights the combination of rising expenses and significant price drops, with corn losses potentially surpassing $200 per acre and soybean losses reaching $98 per acre.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
Over 309,000 head of cattle selling this week on Spear Livestock's Week in the Rockies sale. Montana steer calves weighing 4.5 to 500 pounds on the sale, bringing $3.33 up to $3.75. 5 to 5.5 weights, 318 up to 364. 5.5 to 6 weight steers, 279 to 344. All from Montana on that Superior sale. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
right, I promise I'm going to get right into your phone calls here. If you've got a quick question or comment to jump in on the conversation here with Perry Pendley, former director of the Bureau of Land Management under President Donald Trump, a much different BLM director than the eco terrorist in charge right now. You know, the John Tester's buddy, Tracy Stone Manning, who's sticking it to the ranchers but helping out her friends at the American Prairie Reserve. Yeah, he was a much different BLM director. Perry, before I get to the phone calls, there's a very, very important point we need to make here. Tristan Justice points this out in his Federalist piece. So now they're going to go out and shoot 500,000 barred owls, because the barred owls are what's really leading to a decline in the number of spotted owls. Here's the note that Tristan Justice shares. According to the Associated Press, federal officials under then President Donald Trump, quote, stripped habitat protections for spotted owls at the behest of the timber industry. Oh, for Pete's sake.
What we did was the law requires, and what the law requires is created the open sea.
Tell you what, Perry, hold on for 1 second. All of a sudden, your phone line is coming in very digitized. Let me see. Perry, what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to have you maybe hang up and call back in and establish a new phone connection, because, yeah, your phone is coming in very digitized, or if you're calling in through a digital connection, it's breaking up on us all of a sudden.
Aaron, is this better?
No, yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll drive in hypothetical conversations here. When people lose their jobs, when they have to move to another town, their kids are impacted. When their finances are impacted, sometimes that can be a leading cause of divorce. I mean, I'm the destruction and the pain that is created over fake science, the Fauci of the Forest Service pushing this nonsense. I mean, for Pete's sake, people here, think about the real world on the ground impacts. And that's what they're trying to do to Colstrip. And if they do it to Colstrip, it's what they're going to do to Montana Resources. All right, let's see. I don't know if Perry Pendley has been able to get back on the phone line yet. He might be having trouble with cell service, because he's a Westerner like us, so he likes to be out in places that don't always have the best cell service either. Greg Franks in Billings next up. Greg, great to hear from you.
Mr. Hearn, how are you?
I'm doing great. I enjoyed a nice cigar yesterday, so I'm feeling great. It's Friday.
Well, you bought them, so that you know, you shared a bunch of them with Americans for Prosperity. It was a nice event.
Well, yeah, thanks to them. That was fun. Yeah.
I don't want to take too much time, but speaking of the spotted owl, it reminded me of a story when I worked for Senator Burns back in '89. There's a House hearing in the Interior Department that Congressman Ron Marlin was sitting on, and it's a hot July day. He's testifying. They're just sitting there in the seats the congressmen are. Finally, Ron Marlin just sits up with his big barrel chest, kind of swaggers a little bit. The guy stops and just looks at him, and Ron goes, "Oh hell, they taste just like chicken." Gets up and leaves. So,
oh,
you know,
man.
Ron was right back then too. So just thought I'd share that little story, and you guys have a good weekend.
That's an oldie but a goodie. I'm glad you shared it. I've heard that one over a cigar before with you and our friend John Brennan, so I appreciate you calling in and sharing that with the rest of the state. That was great. All right, Perry Pendley back on the phone lines with us now. Let me see. There we go. All right, Perry, let's see if we got you Lima Charlie radio check. Over.
Yeah, loud and clear.
There we go. All right. Okay. So that point about the fact that, okay,
the bottom line, Aaron, is that there are lands Congress specifically designated in Western Oregon where the federal government owns 60, 70, 80% of the land. And these are called the Oregon and California Railroad Revested Acts, or ONC lands. And they were specifically designated by Congress for logging. That's what they were supposed to do, to support local economies. And then came the spotted owl craziness and shut them all down and resulted in massive unemployment and the closure of almost all of these mills. And we saw an opportunity to allow some of these local mills to get back in business and recharge the economy that President Trump became famous for. We had a fantastic economy under President Trump, and it's thanks to decisions like this, essentially saying, no, we don't have to close down these entire forests. We can protect the spotted owl, we can protect the environment, and we can have an economy. And that's why Trump was so great and Biden is so bad. And frankly, I've been battling Tracy Stone Manning since the 90s when she was a student at Missoula doing the work of radical environmental groups and joining as an unindicted co-conspirator in the spiking of trees. So she's now behind a desk in Washington shutting down all our multiple use lands in Montana and elsewhere, and all the Democrats voted for her.
Yeah, and guess who made sure she got that job? Liberal Senator John Tester. You know, obviously we've got the most important Senate race in the country here in Montana. And random side note for just a second, Perry, if you don't mind, too. So we just had, I don't know if you heard about this, we just had a massive failure again on the St. Mary siphon, which is the irrigation project that is the lifeline of the entire High Line of Montana. And you know, it was interesting. I had the BOR guys on the show yesterday, good guys, and they're trying to get it done. But, you know, they only get the resources they get from Washington, right? But, you know, they told me, well, it'd be $5 million for a temporary replacement, and then it'd be $5,000 a day to run that thing. And I'm thinking, hell, they're spending $500,000 a day on one migrant shelter on the southern border alone, but $5K a day for the Highline Lifeline is too much. So that was – the point I wanted to make is that – If Republicans take back control of the Senate, if John Tester gets defeated, we could have the first Senate majority leader potentially from Montana since Mike Mansfield. Senator Steve Daines could be the next Senate majority leader. And that could mean you have somebody in a big position that can get stuff like that done finally for a change. I think Montanans don't understand, A, the harm that John Tester is creating by putting Tracy Stone Manning in jobs like the BLM director, and B, the opportunity if we get Steve Daines in a major position like Senate majority leader.
Well, it's very important to turn this country around and get rid of Biden, and his supporters are up for re-election in the Senate and the House. You said at the top of your show, talking about Biden, everybody knew. We all knew. Everybody knew. The White House, the mainstream media, and these radicals were lying to us, the elite, George Clooney and all his friends were lying about Biden's condition, and now we know. We saw last night he introduced President Trump as Vice President of the United States. he introduced Zelensky as Putin. The guy's totally lost, but I don't want that to obfuscate the fact that for almost 4 years he's been destroying the country, destroying the West, and destroying jobs. I mean, I hope we can turn things around and get our country back, because we're heading down a long, lonesome road.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is look at how quickly Donald Trump and Mike Pence turned things around after 2016, and you were a part of that. Ryan Zinke was a part of that, so much more. Look at how quickly you turned things around. But, man, we got a much bigger problem to turn around after these last 3-4 years than you did even after the Obama-Biden years. And so, but anyway, I'll share one quick thought on that. We'll come back to Perry Penley right after this. Plus, we got some callers on the phone lines. We'll give her another try with Kevin and Billings and others on the phone line. Stand by.
Studios. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a message on our Montana Talks app. This came in from Linda in Billings. Hi, Aaron. I read Perry's book several years ago. Terrific book. Well written, well researched. Many thanks to Perry. That was from Linda in Billings. Thanks for that message. Jesse in Shelby says this: after the trained shooters kill the owls, they will then say, too many owls died. And they'll blame that on guns and attack the Second Amendment. That's from Jesse and Shelby. Kevin in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? We'll try it again.
Saskatchewan, the second largest producer of uranium, British Columbia, massive logging industry, extractive industries, mining, oil, and it just doesn't, is there any environmental impact or environmentalists up there trying to shut that down? It doesn't appear to me. It seems like we cross in the United States and all of this gets shut down. And from his perspective, I was just wondering how Canada is able to keep moving forward, and we seem to be going backwards in the very same industry.
Oh, great question. Yeah, massive uranium deposits in Saskatchewan. I was listening to the great Canadian psychologist, Dr. Jordan Peterson, talk about that recently here. Let's see, Perry Pendley, your thoughts.
Well, I guess maybe it's because the provinces have a much more power and ability to manage their resources than the state does. In the United States, not so much. I mean, if Trudeau was calling the shots, I'm sure he'd shut down all of that.
Yeah, and I think he's trying to. I think the biggest challenge for Saskatchewan right now is that, you know, a lot of the uranium is still coming in because of the lack of nuclear power as a capability, you know, like we've talked about nuclear power being as an add-on capability at Colstrip. Keep doing the coal, but then add nuke to the equation as well, kind of like they're doing down in Wyoming. But most of the uranium, even though we have a lot of the deposits here, I think Wyoming's moving forward with more uranium mining, is because they get it from Central Asia right now. But if we had more nuclear energy, power production, that would also stimulate more uranium mining. But obviously we've still got too many liberal judges here in Montana that they stand in the way of everything, let alone uranium mining, as well. Perry, the one point that I wanted to make, you know, you talked about how, boy, I hope we can turn things around. Earlier this morning, I caught up with Mark Lauder, who was a special assistant to President Trump. And I kind of asked him that same question. How much harder is it going to be to turn things around after these last 3 to 4 years of Joe Biden and John Tester and the way they've destroyed everything? It's going to be a much bigger task. He made a good point. He said, well, we've proved before that we can turn things around. That's point one. And then point two is they're going to be much more prepared this second go around. They're going to have the staff ready to roll, the appointees ready to roll. So anyway, your take on that.
I think that's absolutely the case. And I think the public, I mean, we're talking possibly of a landslide by President Trump of historic proportions. And if that's the case, and I certainly do hope it's the case, then it's an illustration that the president will have a mandate. The American people will have repudiated everything Biden did and urging President Trump to go the complete opposite direction. And I hope it will mean that we will have the support of the Senate and the House, unlike what happened last time. President Trump wanted to build a wall, and the Senate couldn't find its way to get the funds available to him. But I think it's now clear that what President Trump wants to do is in the best interest of the country. And I think he'll have the support, I hope, of a Republican-led House and Senate. And I think that would make things a lot easier. Plus the fact we know where we don't want to go. We know where we want to go. And that's back to the policies of President Trump. And I think many of us will be prepared to deal with the deep state in a way that perhaps we weren't before, simply because we had not anticipated. I don't think people had anticipated. A number of people who went in had experience going in after a Democratic administration and were astonished at the hostility and the foot-dragging that they encountered. And I think we'll be well-prepared for that. So I don't want to underestimate the job that lies ahead. It's a huge, huge job. It certainly will take a full 4 years to get it done, but it has to be done to frankly save the country for our children and our grandchildren.
Well, and I was going to try to sneak in one more quick phone call, but we're literally almost out of time. And I also think there's one more important point to make here, which is, you've been, this whole idea of a deep state is basically unelected bureaucrats doing whatever they want, pushing their own personal political agenda instead of enforcing and acting the laws that Congress passed. And they had, you know, Chevron deference to hide behind before. They lost that thing to hide behind now. But I think you've been talking about it. We've been talking about it as folks in the Rocky Mountain West, because it's been deliberately used against us. Now the rest of the American people see how it's being used against them also, because of the Russia hoax.
Yeah, Aaron, let me give you a quick example. When
30
Secretary
seconds.
Zinke went, I get it. When Secretary Zinke went in, he told the Bureau of Land Management, come up with a plan to move headquarters out west so we can be in touch with the American people. 2 years later, Secretary Bernhardt took over and said, Secretary Zinke told you to get a plan. Where's your plan? Oh, sorry, Mr. Secretary, we didn't work on it. We haven't done it. That's the kind of foot-dragging we encountered. And, of course, Tracy Stone Manning moved it back to Washington.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody, no federal official in the West is listening to
And those
to
people
us.
Should be fired.